Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be talking about conscious compassion and awareness in today's show. We'll also be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open It with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm good.
What's going to happen on the week that we ask each other that, and somebody say, you know, I'm miserable, wretched, it's hideous, I hate life. I'm going to find a tall building so that I can jump off of it.
Wow. That's an excellent question. You know what I think? I think we just show up and deal with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems like that's the practice. Maybe not deal with it, but accept it.
And so the answer would still be, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Mm-hmm.
Even though all that stuff is going on, even though that's how I feel and those are the thoughts in conditioned mind, and the answer can still be, I'm fine, I'm great.
Great. It's good. Mm-hmm. And for me, having the radio show is a big encouragement to show up and be present.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've heard you talking about, setting up our lives in such a way that we are required to show up and participate.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It's critical. In fact, I'm working on the email, the monthly email that I send out, and that's exactly the point that I want to make.
Good.
We think awareness practice is difficult, and what we often fail to realize is that conditioned mind, egocentric karmic conditioning, however we want to talk about that little survival system of an illusion of a separate self, it has it's really good at practice.
Yes.
It's a different practice than awareness practice, but
yes.
It has a very, not just well-established, but entrenched practice.
Yes.
And so I want to talk with people about that, and who knows, maybe there are other people out there who would like to talk about that this evening, which would make my job easier because then I could just listen to what we say here, write it down, email is done.
Great.
It'd be a service. They could, you know, combine service with whatever else is going on.
Yes, yes. It's all wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. We have a caller.
That's the best.
I'd like to welcome Chris from Oakland. You're on Open Air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome. What's going on?
I think I might be an appropriate caller hearing your introduction. Let's see, I'd like to be as brief as possible. Basically, the last 7 years, I've been just struggling to keep my head above water. And I've been dealing with a chronic illness that was mysterious up until a few weeks ago. And I finally found out what was going on, and it wasn't great news, but in a way it was now that I know what I'm dealing with.
Uh-huh.
The question is, in short, how to practice with crisis, or, you know, the sense of being in almost like a perpetual state of crisis.
Okay, so I know we usually shy away from content and that sort of thing, but is this a life-threatening
disease? It could be.
Disease?
It's not at the moment. It could be. And it's, I mean, I'm in a position basically, you know, to give you the basics, you know, it's I've been dealing with this for 7 years, so I haven't really been able to work. I'm 31 years old, so, you know, since I was 24, more or less. And, you know, it's one of those sort of no job, no money.
Uh-huh. yeah, not good.
You know, it's,
and,
yeah,
and so
life,
what is the diagnosis?
Circumstances
got
are,
it,
very
I mean.
Are very challenging.
Uh-huh.
And I wake up in the morning, and I'm just sort of overwhelmed with all of the voices, what all of the voices have to say about that. You know, I'm not going to get well, I'm not going to be able to support myself, I'm blah, 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 like all of this stuff, which may or may not be true, but in the moment, you know, I recognize that it's I'm okay, I'm alive, I'm, you know, I'm getting out
of bed.
You're
in a bed, for God's sake.
Yeah, right.
You're not on the street.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've done some Carmel retreats with you, I've done the Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and, you know, spent some time at the monastery, and it's like I have these tools, but they just completely escape me when I'm in this state of overwhelm.
Right.
And so the question is around, like, you know, how can I sort of focus my practice or my attention in a way that, because I can't, you know, I can't manage all of those things at once.
No, you can't. And, of course, that's one of the great techniques that conditioning uses, right?
Right.
It just gives you this barrage of things that are wrong with the implication that if you don't handle these all right now,
right,
then it's just going to be hideous.
Exactly.
And, in fact, what you've noticed is that when it's doing this, there actually isn't anything wrong.
Right, only if I interpret it that way.
That's right. Well, you know, as I'm sure everybody points out to you who has a chance, we're all terminally ill.
Yeah.
So
you know that.
Yeah. So, and none of us knows when we won't have an income, when, you know, somebody pushes a button and drops a bomb on us all, when
whatever. Yeah.
Anything might happen at any point. And when there's nothing that that conditioning can latch onto as true,
mm-hmm.
then we don't have to face that. Then we can kind of luxuriate in conditioning's torture about things like something you said to somebody yesterday or what somebody thinks of you or some
right.
kind of mistake that you made in the past or that sort of thing. Then it really ramps up when it's got something like, but, you know, medical people are saying that there's this diagnosis. So
right.
now it's really, 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 really true. And now you have to really be in a panic about this.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So the process is the same. It's just very helpful when you reach a place, the place that you have reached, where you really can see what's going on.
Right.
It's very helpful. And then what I hear you asking is, okay, great, now I know what's going on and I know what to do and I don't seem to be able to remember to do it when the things get really big.
Yeah, I suppose part of it is memory. And, I mean, I actually most of the time am aware of what's happening and able to at least, you know, kind of, you know, get a sense of compassion for what's for myself and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like almost having the resource to practice. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like it's just being able to do it.
Right, right. Well, here's what I would encourage, and it's such a well. I'll tell you what it is, and then you'll know that I've said it before, and then I'll say right. But the requirement is that you do it.
Right.
So when you, what is it that you need to remember?
I think the main thing that I need to remember is that the only number one, it's not really the content, but it's like it's my relationship to it that matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is that I can only really experience and deal with one moment at a time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the suffering comes from projecting my present experience into the future.
Right. Or some imagined.
Exactly.
Because as you say, you wake up, you're in a nice, warm, comfy bed.
Yeah.
Come on. There, you know, if you would project that into the future, it would be great. So conditioning has to take you out of your actual experience
right.
into a, oh, my God, what if, and
right.
then project that into right. the future.
Well, I mean, what often happens is I wake up in extreme pain in a comfy bed. So that's what gets projected into the future.
Uh-huh. You're always going to be in this kind of pain.
Right. And you won't and as a result, you won't and because you're, you know, having such dysfunction in your body, you're not going to be able to live the kind of life that you want to live and, you know.
Right.
Or maybe
which
any kind
of course
life.
Remains undefined, right?
Well, I have some ideas, but the ideas are different than the reality, and, you know.
Well, and, yeah, so let's lose track of that, because that's a good one too.
Yeah.
It does remain undefined in the sense that there are all of these vague, well, I'd like to be healthy like everybody, and I'd like to be able to do everything I want, and I'd like to, it's sort of everything that I'm not having right now. That's what conditioning holds up as the ideal life.
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay, so now, there's the guy who wakes up and he's in a lot of pain, and you know that it's not the content, it's your relationship with the content. So let's be specific. It's not the pain, it's how you are with the pain that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I do know that.
And the second piece of it was?
That I can only really
deal
with one moment at a time.
Right, one sensation at a time.
Right.
Okay, so now here you are. You've stepped back from him, and there he is, lying in his comfy bed in a lot of pain, and the torturers are there wringing the bed, mm-hmm. Doing what they do. What do you want him to know about himself?
That he's okay as he is, and that nothing needs to be different in that moment, and that I'm going to do everything that I can to take care of him, and, you know, and that I love him, and, just the basics like that.
Okay. So here's my encouragement. Never leave that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we want to do, what conditioning talks us into, I mean, the most sincere people fall into this trap. Okay, now I understand how it works. Now I know what I need to do. When it gets bad enough, I'll do that. Right? But the rest of the time, I'll just coast along in this relationship with conditioned mind that ego convinces me is what I want.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And for you, the stakes are really high at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually never leave that conversation.
Right. That's really helpful, Sherry, because I as I reflect on, you know, after I did the Nothing Wrong With You retreat, there, you know, the circumstances of my life didn't change, but there was such a deeper level of peace and compassion in my life, and it...
Yeah.
All it came from was being in that constant conversation that you're talking about, listening to the reassurances that I had recorded and adding to them and just really focusing on that process and that relationship rather than trying to figure it out or, you know,
That's
getting
right.
into that whole analytical game.
That's right. And then conditioning slowly over time talks us out of it.
Right.
You know, you don't really need to do that. You can do some other things.
Right.
You know, how can you live a life always in that conversation? I mean, how are you ever going to talk to anybody else?
Yeah.
You know, you really need to get to the bottom of this. You need to make some life plans here.
Yeah,
and
time
what
to get
happens
a job
is,
and, you know, all the rest of it.
Yeah, and we just slide right into misery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my encouragement, and to just watch everything that tries to talk you out of that. And, of course, it's not a, you know, it's not a magic act. Conditioning is going to hit you with everything that it's got.
Right.
Get you back into relationship with it instead of into compassionate relationship with that guy who is really struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to be your priority, waking and sleeping.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's really helpful to have that focus.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
I'd like to welcome John from Los Angeles. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good, and just feeling like always amazed at the whole nature of Sangha. I feel like I could plug myself into the conversation that just occurred.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
Well, it was interesting. I was originally calling because, you know, a few weeks ago we spoke at the very end of a show, and I'd sort of felt like I'd been somewhat incoherent and rushing and listened to the archive, which I don't normally do, and realized that the conversation was actually quite ordinary and very compassionate and very clear on both our parts. And I was really appreciative that that was, you know, I was seeing things through a filter at the time that, that isn't really there.
So let me just see if I get this right. So conditioning was lying to you?
Yeah.
That was such a surprise to us, isn't
yes,
it?
Isn't it? It was. It wasn't a terribly large insight, but it was sort of like, well, I'm having this experience with Sherry. I really need to speak with her. I'm babbling. I'm incoherent. Obviously, this is not really a meaningful discussion. And then upon hearing the conversation, that wasn't true. So.
Yeah. It's so important to get that, isn't it? And to me, the really significant piece of it is I can't trust my own mind.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was really clear to me, especially because as the music was playing us off, my recollection of the conversation was, oh, I'm babbling, and that wasn't really the case.
Yeah.
But as I was sitting listening to the young man before, I've just left my surgeon's office because I've been on tour, and I've been traveling all over the world in tremendous amounts of pain. Mm. And I just got back from Japan, and I'm having a lot of problems doing what I do for a living because of the physical pain, and just left my surgeon's office with, you know, not the best of news. And I wasn't really even thinking about talking about that, and realized that, as the young man was speaking, that it's my relationship to the content that causes me to suffer.
Yeah.
My relationship to my projection that I'm babbling, or
that's
my
right.
relationship to my future prognosis, or...
It's the meaning, you know, that conditioning gives everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And calling you is my way of sort of reminding myself, because there's an opportunity, I think, in dialogue with you as a guide or with Sangha, that sort of there's that which I don't get, I think, in daily life, because there's that really insidious nature of conditioning going, there's something wrong here, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps creeping up on you till the point where it feels like there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least that's my experience at this point.
Yeah, and it's such a good point, the importance, the value of Sangha, and the reason that most people are so resistant. You know, if we say, I'm going to go to a sitting group, or I'm going to go to a workshop or a retreat, or I'm going to go to the monastery, most people who have that thought just fall into a pit of resistance.
Right.
Now, there's, you know, why? All those perfectly benign activities, it's, you know, in fact, beyond that, you know, people aren't going to humiliate you, they're not going to exclude you, they're not going to hit you, they're not, you know, they're not going to anything. And the resistance is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because of exactly what you're describing. Inside conditioned mind, conditioning can convince a person that, you know, I'm pretty centered here. I'm actually pretty clear. I can tell what's going on. I know what's happening here. And then we see ourselves and hear ourselves reflected in Sangha and go, oh, my God, that stuff that I was believing is completely false.
Yeah.
It's so slick. It's like I just got talked into buying that car that I don't want and can't afford.
Yeah. It gets, for me, the experience is becoming more subtle in that, I mean, my time after There's Nothing Wrong With You a few years ago, and my life, I kind of see, you know, pre There's Nothing Wrong With You, post There's Nothing Wrong With You life, and, you know, my sort of the changes in my life that have occurred, you know, since starting to really, you know, focus on my practice. And the subtlety for me is the sort of need for reminder more and more, because it really does become more and more subtle about how I'm, you know, projecting, well, I'm babbling on the phone with you, or I'm, you know, the doctor just told me, you know, I may not be able to do what I do for a living, and that's going to be a real problem. Well, I don't know if that's so. At the moment, I'm sort of going to fight that and do what I need to do, but it's the whole thing that arises, and the thing that kind of is subtle is that after There Was Nothing Wrong With You, my practice really settled, and I went, oh, I really need to be nice to myself. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when all this stuff is going to happen. I have today, I have this moment, and I can be present, and I can be compassionate. So this is where I'm going to focus my attention. And a lot of really great magical stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, little insidious things, like a lot of time goes by between, you know, dialogue or reflection or an opportunity to sort of voice, you know, what's going on, and there's this insidious, very insidious process that really kind of starts to tear down where my practice is, and then I have to come back.
Yeah, and the subtlety of it is the important point, right? Because when it says to you, you're babbling, it's not saying, you know, as it might have at an earlier time, you are such an idiot, what a moron you are, I can't believe you. It's not saying that. It's giving you this kind of helpful information. You know, it's really on your side. And
yeah,
just kind
of
wants you to know that that's what was going on.
Right. Which
and
was actually
course,
not the case at all.
It's not the case at all, and it's not on your side, and there's nothing subtle about it. Once we see it, but when we're inside it, oh, is it hard to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my question, I guess, just to focus this would be, there's a feeling level that arises. I know that there's content and feeling and sort of there's things that get attached, and in practice there's a letting go. I was reading Alan Watts this morning, and he was quoting the Zen poem about the flower that only lives for an hour has the same sensibility as the tree that lives for 1,000 years. And mm-hmm. I've been feeling really delicate lately because of my health issues.
Uh-huh.
And in practice, I'm not really sure other than to just sort of be kind and sit, which is what I do. When I start to feel really weird, I go to the cushion and I sit.
Yes.
It's getting challenging because of my spinal issues. And I'm not really sure where to go. I mean, I can breathe and I can sit and I can be present, but if any encouragement or guidance with sort of that sense of fragility would be really appreciated.
Yeah. I keep getting a sense as you're talking that your koan right now is, I don't know.
That's been it since we started.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's encouraging to me. So, I don't know. So, along with that, this is my encouragement. You know, the world is designed for people to give up. I talk about society as, you know, a gathering of egocentric karmic conditioning. It's like there's what we deal with individually and then put a whole bunch of us together, and it's called society, and that's what we're looking at.
Right.
So, and, you know, people can have whatever experience they have of this. I'm not saying anything about the people who participate in particular. But especially in the West, medicine is designed for giving up. And so you get a diagnosis, and you get your drugs, and basically you give up. It's just, this is the diagnosis, and that means that's sort of the end of it. And now you're just in a process of dealing or coping or whatever it is. Okay,
yeah.
So maybe you have surgery, or you just stay on these drugs forever.
Yeah.
For me, and of course, you probably know I have very strong feelings about allowing anybody else to be an authority in one's life.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, abdicating responsibility for one's life is just the biggest mistake we can make, and it is the fast track to bitterness and regret. So my encouragement to you is holding this awareness that I don't know, to determine that you are going to do everything that you can do for this fellow who has this condition.
Yeah.
And if there's only one person on the planet who escapes the diagnosis, it's going to be you.
Yeah. It's
You're
so going to
figure out.
Responded just now, because my conditioning's immediate response was, that's funny. But I actually don't take that as funny. I take that quite seriously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That you're going to be the one person who figures out a way to. And, of course, what that does for us, I'll tell you a quick story. We have somebody in our area who is a healer, a practitioner of, I can't even say Chinese medicine, because it's just this, you know, combination of stuff that just happens to work miracles.
Right.
And so I was talking with some people recently whose mother has been in and out of intensive care for this condition that, you know, the doctors have nothing to offer except massive doses of steroids, and she's dying.
Yeah,
and I said,
offering me. Yeah, that's what they want me to do.
Yeah, and so I said, would you please just, you know, lie to her, hijack her, kidnap her, whatever you need to do, but get her one appointment with this person and just see if there's any change. So I saw these folks today, and they reported that their mother went and had kind of a miracle experience with it, felt 100% better immediately, is on this program now to get off of these toxic drugs and blah, blah, blah. Now,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying all drugs are toxic.
Right.
I'm simply saying it's really important to take responsibility for your life, and that can include finding out everything that is out there that might be of assistance. And it's not so much what's out there that's going to make the difference. It's the attitude of mind of the person who says, I will do whatever it takes to help this person.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I'm very proactive in that environment, and it pisses a lot of doctors off. But the challenge is finding the space between. There really, it's an interesting thing, because as I'm listening to you, everything you're saying is in agreement with how I view what I'm doing. And then there's this tremendously draining. You know this, because you know long-term physical pain is this weird thing which feeds conditioning.
Yeah.
It's like one of conditioning's favorite things in my universe.
Yep.
You know, because it's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's not exhausting is taking care of someone you love more than life itself.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And, of course, what we're talking about is becoming very, very, very subtle so that you are actually able to experience things that everybody else is going to miss because you're on the inside. Everybody else is trying to do this from the outside, but you're on the inside.
Yeah, I hear you.
Some subtle something in there that's out of balance, and you have the opportunity to put it in balance, whether the condition leaves or not.
So, you know, I actually wrote the monastery about wanting to come help build the the new meditation hall, and wrote, and actually in my note said, I have a lot of hesitation because I'm worried that my injury would prevent me from being of service. That was something that came up for me. I actually wrote and said, I want to come, but I don't want to be a hindrance.
And that's the opportunity that we have. You know, that has broad application. So it's up to us to figure out how not to be a hindrance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I won't be.
Excellent.
Then I won't be. Okay. As always, Sherry, it's really, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the clear mirror that you always present when we talk. So.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, John. You're listening to Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on our second segment of Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness, taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can reach us toll-free in North America. Phone number is 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open, so give us a call. Sherry, I see you're going to be on the East Coast soon.
I am. Let's see. Do you have some dates for us there?
I do. April 17th in New York at the Integral Yoga Institute.
Yes. A lovely place with a lot of lovely people. I was there a couple of years ago, and it was a marvelous evening.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, very, very fun.
Great.
And then I move right on from there to Cambridge.
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. I've actually never been to Boston, so
wow.
Never been to Cambridge. And, yeah, I'm excited about that. And so if people have friends, family, whatever, they can visit the website, find out where we are, and they can send those folks along, and that
yeah.
would be lovely.
Yeah, you'll be in Cambridge on Wednesday, April 19th. And all the information is there on the Living Compassion website, livingcompassion.org.
That's right.
And it's new and exciting in the past month or so and always being updated.
Has a great new look, doesn't it?
Oh, I love it.
And you can just kind of cruise around and find everything?
Yeah, easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good deal.
Sherry, I have some email questions here.
All right.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. I love listening to the archives. Thank you. Sherry, I've been through a great deal of change in the past 5 years. It started out ending an 8-year relationship, followed by entering another relationship with a married woman who was coming out and trying to dismantle her marriage. Then the loss of my mother, who I adored, but also took care of my entire life. Followed by dealing with sexual abuse and ending up taking the perpetrator to trial after 30 years. On top of ending another relationship, all the while many other subtle changes. My life today is so very different. So much of my defenses and denial is gone. The pain and chaos all are gone, but now there is a new pain, one of trying to figure out what this new life looks like. So much of it is unfamiliar. I did so much work in such a short amount of time, and I'm now figuring out what I'm supposed to do with my life. I met someone else, and of course the timing is not right with that relationship either, but for once I feel very in love, but I know she isn't ready, and so we are taking time. This also means letting go of outcomes and the need to know what is going to happen next. So much of my life is this blank canvas, and I am so used to having these built-in distractions, and for once, I don't. So, what do I do with the silence? Sometimes the silence is so loud and deafening. What do I do about trusting the future and that the best thing will happen? Sometimes I just want my old life back. At least I knew what to expect. Thank you, Sherry, from a listener in Virginia.
Well, isn't that something? Now, I project that last little part that the person wrote, that, you know, there's that feeling of I just want my old life back, and then there's kind of shaking of the head and going, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
Because that didn't sound like a good time.
Yes.
There was a lot of pain in that. And so there we are. We see conditioning in action. So my life isn't working. There's a lot of pain, suffering, struggle. I go through all of this. It falls away. And what is conditioning going to do but try to then introduce pain and suffering again?
Yes.
So it seems like because we're used to pain and suffering, you know, I've always lived in a windy climate, and I always hated it, and now I don't. But, you know, I miss the wind. And so I move to a place where there's wind because that's what I'm used to, and I'm also used to hating it.
Yes.
So the work in all of that is to get here.
Yes.
The silence is only deafening by ego's standards.
Yes.
So the silence means ego conditioning isn't there doing its yummy, 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 yummy. This is who I am. This is what's important. This is what I need to do. I hate this. Oh, my God, that's so scary. What am I going to do? This is so painful. This is so awful. So that conversation is stopped, and the silence seems really loud.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. The thing to do is learn to enjoy the silence.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going camping and winding up in a campground.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's going camping out in nature where you hear things like the wind in the trees and maybe some animals rustling around and maybe some water.
Yes.
Or maybe some nothing.
Yes.
And then you wind up in a campground, and invariably six or seven people have radios or televisions on and this sort of thing, and there's only a tent between you and them, there it is, you know. For the person who really wants to be there with all of the noise and that sort of thing, that person is going to choose conditioning over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The person who says, you know, I like being out here where it's quiet and I can see the stars and just relax and be here in this quiet, that person is going to be in a hurry to let go of conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And so, I need to figure out what to do with my life. The answer to that is live it.
Yeah.
There is nothing to figure out. There is nothing to figure out. What am I supposed to do here? Live.
Yeah.
What should I do? Live. Who should I be? Don't worry about it. Just keep breathing. Life will take care of all of those questions. And the questioning, of course, is designed to just take us up in our heads where conditioning lives and where we get into that dualistic, well, maybe this, maybe that, and suffering is not far behind. So that's my encouragement.
Yeah.
And if the writer needs a little extra quiet, we have 320 acres out here at the end of a couple of dirt roads where there is plenty of quiet that we support people through learning to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, and a beautiful place it is.
And a beautiful place it is. A little soggy right now, but we're going to dry out soon.
Okay, good. Hopefully the whole West Coast will dry out soon.
Hopefully, yes, uh-huh.
Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Aparna from Mountain View, California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
It is. It feels so centering just to be able to call.
Oh, good.
It really...
It's kind of like walking up to the cushion and bowing and sitting down and that first breath of...
Yes.
Here we are. All right.
I know the person that called won out, you know, and actually got the call.
Uh-huh. Actually got to push the buttons.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
I have been in a new job for 3 months, and not surprisingly, about a month ago, I started to see a repeat of my last job.
Mm-hmm.
The karma came back again, different person, different name, but... Same thing. And
same story.
Same story. And happily this time, I saw that.
Uh-huh.
So I said, oh, here we go. Here we go. Thought, hoped we could escape it, but knew deep down we couldn't.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I'll leave this set of circumstances and go into these new circumstances, and then my karma won't be there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and gosh darn it is, isn't it?
And it is there.
What's that? What happens then as a result of that? What?
Well, what has... And so I realized that, and I said to myself, you know, I would like to do it differently this time.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to choose not to relive this again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been trying to be conscious and, you know, sometimes succeeding, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of precipitated the call today is today my boss sat me down and said, this person is complaining about you, fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, fix it. Just go fix it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I saw this coming, and I've been trying. I've been trying to fix it. And it just, it hasn't been working, obviously.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this. Familiar. Three words or phrases to describe this other person.
Three words or phrases. Well, the phrase that's popping to mind, because I'm not as identified as I was on my drive home.
Well, it's good to use the ones that go through your head, you know,
yeah.
all the time.
I mean,
he's so, she's so.
Yeah, they're not coming up, but the one that's coming up from a more detached place is the, I would, this is talking about me, would rather be right than be happy. About uh-huh. the situation. Like, I can see that that's my personality that comes in.
Right, but what are you projecting onto this other person?
I'm projecting onto this other person that they're not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
That they aren't communicating openly.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, don't have really high competence in the job.
Confidence?
Competence.
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 Okay.
So like, you know, they're not that skilled in the job.
Yeah, incompetent.
Yeah.
Lazy?
Maybe.
Sneaky? Secretive? Manipulative?
Sure, why not?
Okay, now you know the last part of the exercise is
yes.
owning those qualities.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's interesting, and of course, as you know, as you look more at that, I'm sure you'll see it more and more. You know, what is it exactly about that person that pushes my buttons? Well, of course, it's that I'm exactly like that, and I can't stand it. And we don't actually have to go very far because to see that, because your boss called you in because you're not doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not communicating openly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got this whole secret world going about this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that that keeps you, you know, that whole set of what's wrong with this person conversation, secret conversation in your head is keeping you from being able to do the quality of job that... that you were hired to do.
Yeah, and at the and I can see the person just argue. You know what I mean? Wanting to argue with you.
Oh, sure, of
course. Feel the person being like, but no, you don't understand the situation, and you know I can just hear the litany of responses, and that's what comes up at work.
Yeah,
you know it's been extremely difficult for me. I mean, I've actually been quite proud of myself for not going all the way down into it, like
yeah.
to remaining conscious at all.
Yeah, yeah. Usually when we're in that kind of situation, what we're trying to be conscious of is stopping ourselves from the process.
Yeah.
I'm conscious of what I'm doing around this person in an attempt not to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But what we have the opportunity to do with awareness practice, of course, is see how I'm doing that. And again, we don't have to look very far because we're always doing it with the person that we're projecting is doing it.
Yeah.
See? So if I, you know, I project onto my mother-in-law that she is controlling,
mm-hmm.
well, of course, I'm trying to control how
her.
She is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like this big, deep thing that, you know, I have to, well, how am I like that in my life? And no, it's much more simple than that. I'm doing it right in the relationship that I'm struggling with.
Right.
Yeah. And the beautiful part, I mean, this is not to say the other person isn't doing it too. Right?
Yeah, and that's an easy place to get tripped up, right?
Yeah. So,
caring
great.
Whether
the other person is that way too. Great. Okay, so I'm trying to control this situation. Doesn't mean my mother-in-law isn't controlling. We're probably both controlling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we get to the great spiritual part of it, which is, okay, can I be all right with the fact that I'm that way? And then once I accept it here, it's a short step to, and you know, I can sympathize with her. I know where wanting to control the relationship comes from. I know how that goes. Of course she's controlling. So am I.
Yeah. And at the same time, just feeling the resistance.
Yes.
You know, feeling that, oh, I do not want to go there with this.
That's right. Now you know, I think, that the not, I don't want to go there with this is conditioning saying, wait a minute, you know, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this. I get a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
And if she just drops this, if she sees through this, how am I going to get all that attention?
Yeah. It's so loud that...
the resistance?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
I know that when I listen to the archive, I hopefully will hear what you said.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
now,
see,
the resistance is so loud.
Yeah, and the great part about that is you can see it's not you. I mean, it's over there doing its resistance thing, and you're listening to it.
Yeah, and spending all of this energy where, you know, I could be doing work.
Precisely. Think how competent you would be.
I mean, I could just...
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? So all it's getting you to be exactly like what it's projecting this other person is.
Yeah.
And resisting letting that go, even though what it says is, you're not like that. That other person is like that, but you're not like that, and yet it is making you exactly like what it's projecting onto the other person. And there you are, right in the middle, right? You're listening to me, and you're listening to it.
Yeah.
Like a tennis match. You listen to me, then you listen to it. You listen to me, you listen to it. And the important thing to notice is, who are you?
Yeah, someone
you're
listening.
You're not that person.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Big, isn't it?
It is big, and it feels so big that I feel like I don't even get it yet.
Oh, right. That's right. And that's why, to me, it's important and helpful to have a little focus. And so you just take one of those. Take one of those characteristics and say, in a very kind and loving way, I want to be free of this, and so I want to see where that shows up in my life. I want to see all the places that shows up in my life. And I'm going to embrace all of those places in compassion.
Yeah.
And you'll start seeing them. You know, ooh, there it is. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm doing it. Oh, okay. And pretty soon, it's like there's a, you know, somebody just turned the lights up. And you can see. This is how I've been operating in my life. No wonder I needed a target to be the bad person with that characteristic so that I could put all of this energy into resisting them and not have to face it in myself. Well, that's more work than I want to do. I'd rather do my job.
Yeah, and it really does feel tiring.
Oh.
You know, really?
Yeah. Well, it that whole process of identifying somebody at work and running this number is sucking the life out of you.
Yeah. And I feel like I can just hear the voices say, here we go again.
Uh-huh.
It's happening again. You know.
Well, the same voices
yeah.
are doing it, yeah, are saying that, sure.
Are blaming me for having it done to me.
That's right. It's so unfair, isn't it? Yeah, blaming you for what's being done to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the power in seeing it everywhere. So that it, you know, it's like blackmail. As soon as everybody knows what the secret is, there's no ability to blackmail. So as soon as you see this about yourself and you embrace it in compassion, it has no more power to affect you.
And that's the interesting thought because, you know, what I had done when I had started to see this maybe a month ago was try to embrace the other person in compassion.
Right. Doesn't work, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
No, it's just it's just a teeter-totter. So there's your conditioned self on one side of the teeter-totter and the other person on the other side, and up and down they go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you try to embrace the person in compassion, and they do something else.
Then you have to hate them.
And then you're like, I just gave you all this compassion. Did you have to go and do another thing like that?
Right. And it's so much easier when you recognize that it's all an internal process. You know, you can just stop worrying about what that person is doing. It's one of those, I don't even know what that person is doing. I don't have any idea. Maybe I'll never know. But boy, is this a good opportunity for me to see this whole drama play out inside myself.
And honestly, what I'm feeling right now is a lot of fear.
Oh, yeah.
Which yeah. I don't feel like I've really admitted that much in my Zen practice.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I am really afraid of going down this road.
Yes,
of
now.
Of calling myself.
Now, just
you know,
because sometimes it's helpful to have an intellectual understanding. That fear is not you. That fear is conditioning's reaction to being seen.
Yes.
You're getting ready to take the power away from it. It's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can just hear it saying, you know, oh, once you go down that lazy and confident road, that's who you are.
Yeah, that's who you also are.
You know?
Also brilliant and competent and extraordinary and all. Yep, we all are. Yep, we all are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, it's that concept of what's unacceptable.
That's right. And as long as it's unacceptable, conditioning has the power to torture you over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you got to keep us posted because this is action packed.
It really is.
Yeah, this is you know this is like a soap opera. You know, we got to have the next installment of what happens with the uncommunicative, incompetent coworker
within me,
within you. Yeah. Let's keep it focused on the other person as long as possible, though.
Yes. Yes, if only it was that simple.
Yeah.
I tried for a month, but alas.
Yeah, alas, you wound up in this miserable place of awareness.
I know, and having to call in, you know, before going to work, what I've been taking to do is listening to the archives.
Ah.
You know, so while I'm getting ready in the morning to sort of
uh-huh.
set the tone for the day.
Arming course, yourself with awareness.
Trying, but of course, by the time I get to work, that awareness has all gone out the door.
Yeah.
And so it finally drove me to come home.
Drove you to
this.
Call. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Aparna. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Don't you just love humans?
Yes, I do.
Humans are the best.
Let's do it again next week.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.